And hello, welcome to Hot Goss, the podcast where we talk about sweet, sweet facts like the dirty little pieces of gossip. Here's the thing. The facts are hot, but so are we. My name is Shem, and I'm fashionable today. In fact, I'm so fashionable, I've learned the word for fashion is now just fashion. It's you are fashion. I was reliably told that by one of my best dressed friends. So that's me.
Wow. My name's Rachel, and I am trying to not participate in fast fashion, which I have a little bit of a shopping addiction. You know, we all have our vices. That's mine. But I resisted buying some stuff online this week, and I felt really good about it.
I'm going to immediately break the format of the show to ask you, what the hell is fast fashion?
That's like companies like Zara and ASOS that are churning out heavy trend-based clothing so quickly. And it's happening now that trend cycles are like going through in a matter of weeks what used to be seasons. Now it's just like things are cycling through so much and it leads to a ton of like waste. It's really bad. So I'm trying to like only purchase from like thrift stores or like secondhand clothing shops so that I'm not participating in that.
And then cycle. Keeping with this disrupting of the format, I have two things more to add to that. Number one, I have an article with a tab open on my computer right now that says, is thrifting problematic? Haven't read it, but like, good Lord.
It is, though.
Oh, wild. And then number two, with the increasing trend cycles, does it mean I'm going to be fashioned for like till the end of the week? Like, that's all I have. I
should have like one more week left, Shem.
Wow. I'm going to put the video of this episode out. Wait.
Can I also say my friend has an Instagram called She Rhymes With Orange, and it's all about sustainable fashion. And she will do like interviews with people and has a whole bunch of stuff in her like weekly newsletter on like actually what is sustainable. Because you think if you take something to like a Google shop, it's like great, great. But actually a lot of that stuff ends up in landfill. So
yeah, 80% of clothing ends up in landfills. Yeah. And that's my fact for the opening.
Good Lord. This train is off the rails. But speaking of off the rails, our next host is...
me, Chloe. I recently bought an incredible pair of pants that I haven't worn yet, but they're like kind of Beetlejuice pants in that they're very thin stripes, but they're high-waisted. They fit me perfectly lengthwise, which is almost impossible because I'm a tiny little person, and I don't have to cuff them at all. And they're orange and black, and I think there's some white stripes, so I haven't worn it. They're not appropriate for spring yet, but come June, they're going to be on my body, and I can't wait. And they were like $15 at Buffalo Exchange. Maybe not 25. I don't know. What is money? I am so rich. Sorry. Can I actually redo my fact? I'm Chloe, and I am so rich.
I'm Lindsay, and I don't really ever look at fashion stuff. I used to just wear whatever. However, my mom... lived really near the King's Road in Chelsea, which was like the height of fashion in the 60s. And she had a Mary Quant dress. And last year she was featured in a V&A exhibition because you could send in photos of yourself wearing those clothes. And she like was projected on this wall, which was really fun with people who had like submitted their photos. And I think she maybe currently is in Australia because that's where the exhibition went.
Is it fair to say you're now the daughter of a model?
Yes.
Hello, everyone. My name's Harsha. I was wearing a company T-shirt that I had slept in, but I did not. In case some little snippet of this entire endeavor was put online, I didn't want to be looking like a corporate shill, and so I changed into a T-shirt that I did not possess the same branding.
I love that. I was gifted $50 of merchandise from where I work, and I was like, what can't I not wear from this site? Like, what, where is the logo least present?
I have a hat from my company, and I was like, oh, it's like an orange hat, not for me. So I put it on my Kristen Stewart cardboard cutout, and it changes with the seasons. Sometimes she'll put a beanie on. Usually she's wearing my company hat.
Orange pants allowed, orange hats not allowed.
Exactly. And Shem, take notes. That's fashion. There you go. I mean, that's for now. The number one rule of fashion.
I mean, will it last for the end of this episode? It's just moving so fast.
Also, for the listener, I can confirm Shem is nattily dressed this morning. He's got a collar on.
Yeah, it just, everything works.
It works.
I'm putting more effort into this than I do for my day job. much to the chagrin of my day job. Yes, so today, for this episode, rather than bring in hastily Googled facts on the internet, I thought it would be...
I've just read about six papers on this is a Shem quote, so that's directed at the three of us.
Wow. It's tough in the big chair, you know what I'm saying? Yeah, I thought it'd be fun, interesting, and helpful to hear stories from everyone's like personal lives, how they're doing. It's inspired by my good friend Harsha. Had a wild time getting back from India where he was, and he wrote an essay of college length proportions about his experience. Forced me to read it under the aegis of friendship. And I will say, over the past year and a half of the pandemic, I grew a COVID layer of empathy. So I was like, oh, good Lord, maybe it would be good to like hear and talk to him. Also, I would like to just talk to Harsh, my friend, but I can't do it without making content. So
I couldn't go through traumatic experiences without making content, Shem. So
We're friends for a reason. I figured this would be like a good forum for that. And then so that's what's happening. So I was going to have everyone share a little bit of actual hot goss from their real lives. starting with the regular host of this podcast, the hottest of the Goslings.
Okay, I wasn't ready, but okay. This is weird. This is not the order we talked about.
Wait, was it me? Was it supposed to be me? Okay. I couldn't tell if Chloe was doing a bit or legitimately it was Chloe.
That was Chloe doing comedy, yes.
Okay. I don't know what comedy is.
Did you not like it, Rachel?
No, I loved it. I just was confused. Okay. Sorry, Mimosa's chewing on my microphone. Sir, you have to leave. That is my hot goss. Okay, cool. I'm going to delicately speak about the goss happening in my life. I recently left my job. I'm very happy that I left my job. Personally, for me, my job was very emotionally draining. And that is all I can say legally about that, because I have been threatened with legal action. And that's what happens when you know where all the bodies are buried. You know what I mean? You know too much and people are like lawyers. But yeah, that's actually really good for me. I'm feeling really great. I am 99.9% sure I have another job. Just have to sign the paperwork. I did find 6 gray hairs this morning, though, in various places on my head, 2 toward the front. So I think that's just a sign of me being done.
And Rachel, do you think those 6 grays are stress-related?
Oh, they must be. I've named them all after my stressors, which I will not be able to repeat.
That feels very high drama.
It truly is the hottest goss. I'm just terrified.
Once again, lawyers ruining all the fun.
But I can just imagine someone like stressing me out and then me going, you are now one of my gray hairs. just pulling out, Andrew, this is now you.
You are Andrew.
On the subject.
My simple wife has just brought me.
Wow, this looks amazing. Thank you. Where is it from? Well, 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 maybe not such a simple wife no more. Look at that.
I just received a cheddar scallion biscuit and it's warmed. Thank you.
Keep her.
And not only did you receive it, the you rest- saw it coming in the camera and put your hand out.
No, it's because Kara texted me and said, is it safe to bring you your biscuit?
You could definitely still turn around, though. That's
okay. I know this is high stakes podcast.
On the subject of unexpected grays, when I first moved to the US, I was 21, and literally the day I showed up at my at the dorm that I was supposed to be staying at, I go into the bathroom to pee, as one does, and I found a single gray atop my head, like in the very middle. And I was like, oh shit, this is the sign that I'm getting old. I'm doing a master's and I'm getting gray. This is not a good look for me. Haven't seen a gray since. That singular gray remains somewhere ensconced in here in amongst all of this. But I have not seen one since.
Yeah, I fully believe it's stress related. Like, height of my stress at this job, I saw a little patch come in. And then after the last week, the two new ladies at the front, happening. Honestly, I can't wait though. I want to be like Stacey London, which Shem, this is a fashion reference.
And the London reference. So like W.
Stacey from What Not to Wear has a famous gray streak. And she's queer.
I'm trying to tell the story delicately. In practice for the episode where your parents just appear later. but I have one gray hair that I know of, which someone discovered and loudly proclaimed mid-fellatio. So it was like...
delicate way of telling that story.
There isn't, but it's okay. My parents are... nasty little bitches.
Well, I mean, I'm not telling it to them. Oh. That's not my fact.
That is Rachel's fact. My parents are nasty.
Guess where Shen's one gray hair was discovered. But it was like the weirdest time to suddenly contemplate mortality.
You're like, okay.
I was like, oh no, I'm growing old and going to die.
For some people, that would just... you know, do it.
Yeah, okay. I will stop talking.
I'm like, retreat, retreat.
I'm dying. This is the second time I've discovered my mortality. In the middle of that story, it's like, oh no.
I've made
you may
a
not
mistake.
Live to the end of this podcast, but you will die looking hot.
Yes.
Well, maybe. Depends how long we take to record it. You might die looking real bad in that outfit if it's too late.
The trend cycle just caught up too quickly. Well, that's my life update. It's exciting, but I can't say anything about it, so I'm so sorry.
Well, I'm excited that you have probably somewhere new to go, pending paperwork.
Yes.
What field is the new pending paperwork place?
Cryptocurrency.
Hell yeah.
Hell yeah. I like that Hasha came forward to the mic.
Yeah.
But that's cryptocurrency, but for what I do.
As good as Shem's week-long fashion.
Yeah. Basically, my job would be on camera explaining to people what cryptocurrency is in a fun way.
I once was paid to like shoot like a little fun thing with, like, let's call them the Bitcoin boys. So they walked around Hudson Yards in the outdoors, and we had to, like, this was pre-pandemic when Bitcoin was lower in value, and they had to walk around like interviewing people and then asking them like condescending questions about Bitcoin. And then they had this one and it was like an okay like shoot, and it was fine.
That's literally a video that they pitched. Great. I mean, I'll tell them it's already done.
Everything's out of date. But it was nuts because like they had this Bitcoin expert with the Bitcoin boys, and like mid shoot, we were just like stopping down, changing camera reels, doing like camera stuff, and it was just like, I was just like, hey, yeah, blah blah blah, small talk. This is how it's done. And he was like, I'm a toxic Bitcoin evangelist. I believe that fiat currencies should be disassimilated, and Bitcoin is the end. And he just went on at me for like 7 minutes with like the further of the conspiracy theorists about why Bitcoin was the future, and you were a fool if you didn't invest or get involved. And like, he just, yeah, it was like almost, it was the emotional equivalent of being grabbed by the lapels and like told the future of cryptocurrencies. And it's like, oh, you're one of those weird, scary dorks who has way too much money and abs, and yeah, you're terrible. Like,
that's terrifying.
Not only do you have wealth, but you have abs.
Yeah.
I hate you and I want your body.
Yes.
I have been programmed to believe that you are better than me simply because you have squares in your stomach.
These people seem more chill. It's like crypto for the people. They're like trying to make it accessible to more people than just like Americans to gain wealth. But yeah, it's interesting. We'll see.
We'll see. Rachel, your life is as
please
as hot as the rapidly skyrocketing price of Dogecoin post, because we live in the post Elon Musk SNL world.
Yeah, it's gonna crash.
No, Rachel. it's rocketing up.
Yeah, Rachel, your life is as hot as the fuel inside the rocket that Elon Musk will take once all of cryptocurrency burns, and he's like, we have to restart on Mars, and he takes everyone from your old place of work with him, and it's good for everyone. On Earth, we're like, yay, because we're like, no more cryptocurrency, and he takes it away to Mars, and we're like, yeah, they're all gone.
So he would take my new employment and my old employment.
Just your old one.
But if he's taking cryptocurrency.
Oh, shoot.
It's okay, Chloe. Thank you so much.
Just the bad cryptocurrency. And he specifically is like, Rachel's job stays and she's good. And you save the world.
Martianified.
Wow. Great. Thank you.
Rachel, your life is as hot as a grilled cheese sandwich.
Thank you.
Interesting. That's really simple.
Rachel, your life is as hot as B-level, I'd say. Bollywood actor John Abraham was believed to be. Simply as a result of the fact that he had lots and lots of abs.
I love Bollywood abs. That's hot.
Bollywood abs is Harsha's username.
find me an 8chan. It's Bollywood abs.
Looking at John Abraham. Sorry.
No need to be sorry. Speaking of 8chan, I'm going to talk to my Ni-chan, which is Japanese for fun little sister. and Chinese for tenuous transition.
Dead.
Turn is it?
Yours.
Chloe, I hope he's not calling Lindsay his little sister.
I don't know if it was an off translation. I don't know. Okay, so my update is that I have been working a lot. So I feel like my brain is like, it's always bumper cars, but the bumper cars are like, it's like Mario Kart, and like this, the whole bumper cart floor is like the Mario Kart speed zone, so all the bumper cars are like going quick. I don't care if work listens to this. I am I'm manifesting either leaving my job or getting fired. So if they hear this and want to fire me, absolutely give me that severance. Nom 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 nom. what else? Weed has been legalized. That's a really good update for me personally in New York City.
Really? How did I miss that?
What, for real?
Really?
I have been. When did that happen?
Almost a month ago, maybe?
When Cuomo was desperately trying to do all sorts of things to get some popularity. Yes.
So you can tell I've been in like a hole of despair.
I think generally my life update is that I've been deep in work, stressed out. I got acne for the first time in my whole life, and it's like stress related. Truly, like Rachel is rolling her eyes, but this is bad.
As someone with chronic acne, I'm like, Chloe,
but it's stress related, and I'm like, look at me going. You know, therapy's going great. I'm learning how to set boundaries, so we're doing that at work. And here we go. I'm flying away out of work again. But though, if work hears me, I would love severance. Yum.
Yeah. Weed was legal for 420. Like, they did it just in time.
But one, I don't, this shows you I don't smoke and I don't know things.
So
I'm the simple wife.
You know the Game of Thrones t-shirt where Tyrion Lannister famously, you know, his quote with "I drink and I know things"? Rachel, you're the inverse.
I'm the opposite.
I don't smoke and I don't know.
I am simple.
I didn't even get the reference on this t-shirt. I'm just out of the picture.
I never saw Game of Thrones.
It's legal now.
Oy vey. Chloe.
Yeah.
I know that for a while you were trying to cut down on coffee. Did that happen?
Chloe, can we not do this today?
Chloe, this is an intervention.
Uh-oh.
Do we have to do this right now?
I'm hugging my coffee cup. I'm with Chloe.
Chloe texted me, "I love coffee," out of nowhere this morning.
I'll actually add, because I know I was aggressive about it, I said, "I fucking love coffee." After I got smacked in the face with a balloon, just walking to Walgreens this morning.
Can you describe that? Was it like a child's balloon, or like did someone throw like a water balloon at you?
Or a hot air balloon?
So closest to the former, a little bit of the second, a little bit of the second. A parent and child, or guardian and their child, were both walking with the balloons. You would think the child's balloon hit me, but it was the adult who wasn't watching their balloon, and it just bonked me in the head as I was talking to Rachel about like trauma.
That is true. We start our mornings with a little trauma discussion.
I guess a more fun life update, since Harsha, since you've been on the pod, got formally diagnosed with ADHD, and because of that I was told, "Hey, you gotta stop the coffee, girly," and I said, "Who are you talking to?" And so it's not going as intended.
How many cups a day do you have?
Come on, Lindsay.
Oh no, like
come on.
Wait.
I was more on your side of
like, if it's not that many, then carry on.
It's like three to four.
I was told more that my like running up like 8 shots of espresso is where I'm doing too much. I was like, it's only 2 to 3 cups, and they were like, that's not what matters. It's what's in those cups. And I said, fuck. Okay.
That's how they get you.
That's how they get you.
It's okay.
I had a caffeine monitor at work once. Like when I worked in the UK, I was working insane hours, and I would get in and have like, I think 2 coffees, probably 2 Cokes at some point during the day, a coffee and then a tea or 2 teas in the afternoon. And he started to take the cups from my desk and stack them up on his desk and was like, "We have to cut you off." And
Lindsay,
it worked.
For most of that story, I was trying to figure out if the caffeine monitor was like a piece of software that you had, you know, like plugged into you.
That's what I thought.
Or if it was like one of those like school hall monitors who would come after you.
Just rotate,
you know,
the floor.
I will send you to the principal.
Lindsay got a yellow slip.
Used as it opposite.
I have coffee
me.
Pass.
Yeah. Like there was a team intervention at times. It was like,
But it's okay, Chloe. I don't judge. I was supposed to cut down on onions, and have I? No.
Hey, that's objectively weirder.
Should I? It's acid. There are problems with onions?
It's acidic. I'm supposed to cut down on acid altogether. But I'm drinking a raspberry lemonade, so.
I thought you were going to pull like onion juice.
I am eating an onion biscuit. And that's not a lie. But yeah, so I don't judge you. It's fine.
I hope that next time we do this, we're all going to have the craziest updates of like fun and flirty and like the hottest summer of our lives, you know?
We'll do it at the end of the summer to see if we really did have a hot girl summer.
I'm hoping to have a white boy summer. Chloe, your Chloe, your life is
okay.
As hot as sandbags dropping fast and furious from the sky, and everyone looking up and seeing it's a big old hot air balloon sailing through one of those 80 days around the world type ones that suddenly like slowly lands and somehow manages to completely hit you in the face. That's how hot your life is.
Oh, not to ruin the this part of the podcast, what happened to that the rocket missile? Did it crash? Oh, I missed that.
I believe it went in the ocean, right?
I think it was on course to go in the ocean, or the other part of it was.
Yeah, when I went to bed, it was supposed to end up in the ocean, but I didn't check this morning.
Oh, good.
I mean, I think you would have heard if it...
yeah.
If a dolphin caught it.
I was also like, things landing in the ocean is not good. Like, it's not great.
No.
Bad things can happen from that. Yeah, we're alive as of now. Chloe, your life is as hot as... a hot, steaming, scorching cup of coffee. Filled with caffeine.
Chloe, your life is as hot as all bosses always are in all memes. You know, when they have a tie and suspenders on and they have a haircut that they must be regretting at some point. But they are always angry and shouting at you. Mm-hmm. That's how hot your life is.
Thank you. And there's always that layer that you don't realize is a layer, but you also do, of like the tank top, which is like, that's a whole layer of clothing you have under your real clothes.
Mm-hmm. Shem, sweaty.
Are you wearing one?
I do have some suspenders downstairs. No, they're
upstairs.
It confuses
upstairs. Me because they're called braces in the UK and suspenders are something different.
What are suspenders?
More like what you'd wear with stockings.
Mm.
Oh. They're from like classic, I'm being kinky in like the 1960s or 50s like type.
What do we call those?
What are like teeth braces? Or are braces. Those also braces?
They're also braces. Oh. Yeah. Chloe, your life is as hot as you in Paris.
Oh. Lindsay won the podcast.
I've never felt more alive. Looked at the spike. I'm sorry, Shem. I looked at the spike on the recording. It was through the roof.
Oh boy. Speaking of through the roof, it's time for wildly one of my most popular episodes, one of my most popular guests is true.
Not wildly.
I was like, good lord, people love Harsha.
They do. People fucking love Harsha.
It's true.
Genuinely true.
I cannot tell you how good my ego feels.
That's
you're
what we're here for.
Than Jeff Hiller.
that cannot be true, but sorry, you were rolling out the red carpet.
consider it rolled. Harsha, take it away.
All right. So I truly do not know where to begin. Perhaps I'll start with this. this is not an accent that I'm putting on. I am from India. It says so both with my, I think I look reasonably Indian, and my passport is definitively Indian. as a result, my family is also Indian. I didn't fall into it. Well, I guess we all fell into it at some point.
So I did fall into. Oh, yeah. I literally fell into it.
Yeah,
you
fell into it.
I
just have my parents and their parents and everybody else before them to thank. And as a result, after I think what we can all agree was about a reasonably hellacious 14 months, I was meant to travel home for 2 months to go home. But in those 2 months, I was meant to attend three weddings, folks. Three weddings.
Oh, no.
And so it was meant to be a time of real celebration. Shem, you had something to say. Sorry.
Oh, here's the thing. I had nothing to say, or I had too much to say. The worst thing, because like before you left, me, you, Lindsay, and friend of the pod, Noah, all like met up outside in the park, and you told us of your plans, and I was like, please, man, don't go. And then I'm trying not to say is like, this is not one big elaborate I told you so. Like, that's not what this is.
That's why Shem looks so nice today.
That's when he dresses up for work calls.
And it's weird because Shem was like, let's have Harsha back on. I have a plan, period. And we didn't even get to sleep. Like, we had no, it was weird.
It's like, you mean facts, right, Shem? I was like, no.
A plan. Oh,
he picked up both cats, started stroking them simultaneously, tackling from the office.
But yeah, and then like we met, and then Harsh was like, no, I'm going, and like we discussed how it'd be safe, and then the day I got vaccinated, Harsha also got his like J&J shot, so I went. It was like truly, and then please tell me how you got that happened, because
that's an off the pod story.
I respect.
But yeah, that was like, oh phew, at least that's off. So I went from being furiously panicked to mildly panicked. Did you make it to any weddings?
I made it to one, which was, well, one wedding happened. now that we've established like the parameters of my existence in America, because I'm on a visa, so I flew home for three weddings. The first of those weddings was my cousin's wedding. My cousin's only a couple of years older than me. We're pretty close. It was very exciting.
Aww.
And it was only basically our family and my now sister-in-law's family. So it was on their roof. It was very nice. We had a great time. I got heat stroke because I'm now a soft fellow. I can't handle the heat anymore. So I never did well with it, but I'm particularly bad at it now. Anyway, that's not what you guys want to hear about. I don't know if you've heard, but things are in a very bad situation in India right now. It's a massive country, and basically nowhere in that country are things under control from a COVID perspective. So yeah, just bad.
How soon did that, like, because it was like bubbling and then it became real bad, was that after the first wedding or like,
yeah,
where in your timeline did it?
It got really bad post first wedding.
Okay.
To the point that the second wedding, so this the first wedding was in Delhi, the second wedding was also supposed to be in Delhi, but the groom of said second wedding himself got COVID. So as you can imagine, that wedding didn't necessarily proceed as planned. But it also got really bad from the healthcare system collapsing post that, to the point where since that second wedding was not happening, I rushed home earlier than was initially planned. So that, because there was also the concern that, hey, maybe flights will shut down, maybe, and like I wouldn't be able to go home at all.
Yeah.
So I got home and I thought, okay, you know, I got tested after I got home. For the first 4 or 5 days, I was in one room of the house and my family would just be around, but we'd never get close.
I know that feeling.
But basically, I didn't see. And eventually, once the negative test came back, I was like roaming around the house fine. But I did not see my friends at all, because very soon after that, basically the city went into what they're now calling a curfew, or they were calling a curfew, and then they're going into a lockdown tomorrow.
Yeah.
I don't know the distinctions between curfews and lockdowns, but point is, basically couldn't leave the house. Then, so now things are getting, like, well, it's, things are still getting worse, so I don't mean to paint a picture of, like, my personal story has a relative happy ending, but I do not want to paint a picture of anything joyous.
Yes.
But anyway, so that's the so eventually things are getting so bad. Uncle Joe over yonder basically has a proclamation saying, okay, we're now banning travel from India. Which I was, you know, I was kind of expecting, but I'd been lulled into a sense of security with the previous administration of nothing actually useful will ever happen.
Yeah.
And so I thought, okay, no one. And then at that point, due to other visa-related concerns, I couldn't afford to be stranded at home for too long. You know, from a work perspective, work, from all that, it would have been, I could have figured it out, but it just wouldn't have worked out from, like, for specific legal reasons or whatever.
Just to chip in, I'm also on like a visa. This is my real voice. I've not been putting it on. Number one thing people would say to me after improv shows, if I did like a show with like a real audience, people come up to me and go, oh, it's so funny. And they say, thank you very much. And he's like, wait, that's real?
Stop.
I can confirm. I met Shem and Lindsay in the same improv class. And I thought, oh, wow, both of them do really good British accents.
Thank you for saying that, because most people don't think I do. Most people are like Australian, right? So I appreciate that, Haja.
I remember, I was like, oh, wow. Most Americans have terrible British accents. These two are really good.
As the same class where the teacher had to say, the game of the scene is not being British. It's not like an amusing, funny thing that we can just do every time. And Harsha took that note and did the Scottish accent that slays me to this day. Yeah, regardless, I'm British, I'm on the visa, which means ever since Uncle DT put like a proclamation in place, I can't leave the country and come back in. Like I'm banned from re-entering the country because of the conditions of my visa, because I'm like a non-immigrant worker. And it's nuts. Like I could travel to like the hottest COVID hotspot in Florida and back to New York and everyone would be like, oh, it's fine. But I couldn't like visit Sweden and like return. And like that was one of those, I mean, surely that mustn't be like a real thing, or like, and it's like, no, it's very much a presidential decree in like capital letters. And then we had like horses like want to leave the country and then come back. And it was literally Uncle Joe kept that thing in place and like made it worse even for us. Like we literally cannot come back into the country if we leave. So we're like very much trapped here. And I went to, here's the thing. I have access to a team of international lawyers.
He is a supervillain, folks.
Here's
he is
thing.
A supervillain.
Here's the thing.
Here's the thing. I have a, I'm a very much a chill dude, but I also have a corporate Amex and the team for international laws at my back and court. So I contact them and say, hey, please can I leave the country and come back? It's important. And they're like, oh, we'll work on it. And like my team of super sleuths couldn't work out a way to get me in the country and back. Like it's like a real very dumb, stupid thing. Especially as like I got those vaccines swimming through my bloodstream. I'm Gucci.
Yeah.
Like it's all good. But like, yeah, What is life? That's why I was particularly fascinated by Harsha's experience. Or before the official proclamation came down, I was passive aggressively Instagramming him saying, please come back. I don't know how to express concern without sounding patronizing, but please return.
So at work, I'm HR for an international tax group. So we have a lot of people on visas who are like trying to travel and whatnot. And that, like, obviously we've run into that issue. And so I don't know if I should say this. I'm going to say it in here. We've tried filing like national interest exceptions for people. And I know like some have been denied, but some have been approved. And I'm like, that's our priority, is like getting accountants back into the fucking country. That's who we're letting come back directly to the US of all people.
What? Yeah, that sounds right. Oh, that's scary.
Yeah.
So you decided to come back. You decided, I got to get back.
And I will say, Shem's point is pertinent to my story as well, in that, flying from the UK is currently a big no-no. The thing comes down May 1st, and the ban begins May 4th. Take that, Star Wars. which means I then have to depart in double quick time, and I have a quick chat with my parents, and we're like, okay, let's start looking for tickets. Let's do this. I then that's May 1st morning. It's a Saturday morning. Go through. Basically, like, I started looking for tickets, and tickets are 5 times as expensive as they usually
are. I'm sure. Right?
And so I'm like, okay, well, looks like I'm going to be out some real money. I finally find something. So I live in my parents. I from Bangalore. I find a ticket from Mumbai to JFK via London at 2 a.m. that night.
Right? Oh my god.
But that means I have to get from Bangalore to Mumbai. Before 11 p.m. that night.
Just so for context, that's like that's going a, from Brooklyn they are to not... the Bronx or something like that.
That's a 2-hour flight.
Yeah.
An hour and 50, but it's a 2-hour flight. And in Bangalore, the airport's an hour and a half outside the city. So or it's an hour and a half from where I live anyway. And I have to get a negative test before I can do anything else. And there's a test available at the airport, but that means I have to leave. Like, I left home 5 hours before my flight because I had to do all these other things. Anyway, wow. So get to Mumbai. Stand in the check-in line to get on the British Airways flight to get to then hop over. Stand there and I notice a couple of people who are like having a little bit of a disagreement, shall we say, with the British Airways employees. And I'm like, ooh, sometimes there's always like some or a couple of people at a check-in thing or like, I'm like, okay, no, maybe it's, I don't need to worry about it or whatever.
Yeah,
but I see the guy who's the primary the one who's most angsty. And he's like holding out a US visa. And I'm like, oh, this is not a good look. And I hear one of the employees say, sir, it's absolutely not possible, sir. With an Indian passport, you cannot go, you cannot travel. You just cannot travel. And I'm like, well, that doesn't jive with what I know.
Like, excuse me?
So I haul, beckon her and I'm like, excuse me, you just said that I can't travel? And she's like, the rule starts May 4th, right? Why can't I travel now? She's like, oh no, this is a rule since August. And I'm like, well, I don't understand that. She was like, please stay in line, sir. We still have to like do something. I don't know what they had to do, but they had to do something. So I get to the actual check-in counter. I'm like, hey, I spoke to your colleague. But who said I can't get on this flight, but I don't understand why I can't get on this flight.
Yeah.
I was able to book a ticket, no questions asked. What's the deal? these. So there are like certain exception categories where you can travel, and like you have to have American family of some description. You have American kids. You have an American spouse. And each time they're like they start asking these questions, you're like, I'm like, no, I don't qualify. I'm just like a little boy by myself.
I'm just a boy. I'm but one, Harsha.
No, I do not. I am not happily married to an American. I apologize. That will be a great success for me.
It's a real motivation right now.
Yeah, I know.
That's why he's changing his clothes. He's like,
I should consider
next time, Harsha. Next time, you know what? Call me, and we can figure something out. I know I'm gay, but we'll work it out.
I have an off-board story to tell on that too.
Okay.
Okay.
I'll get more coffee ready.
But finally, like, you know, the British Airways employees are very, I don't know why they're so like strident in showing their power over me, but they are for unexplained reasons. And eventually I get the answer where the lady essentially says to me, so you can travel from here to the US and you can travel from here to the UK, but you can't travel to the US from here through the UK. And I was like, well... these are whole air bubble agreements, sir. These are not actual commercial flights. These are repatriation flights. Okay, great. Now, the thing is, these are not commercial flights, according to this British Airways employee. Nonetheless, the tickets are five times as expensive. As
yeah.
If you're trying to get your citizens back, you should be getting them out on the cheap.
Right, and also have that as part of the booking process.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Flights just... all click here. Oh.
Like, I know you got out, and I'm still stressed out.
Yeah, I'm like, what happened?
Haven't been let into the U.S. in what I assume is your home, and I'm still like, fuck, what's going to happen?
I'm picturing someone getting on the last chopper out of Saigon, and then suddenly going, wait, let me see your paperwork, and then I'm throwing them back out again.
This was me and Chloe coming back in from Cuba.
Cuba. I don't know what I did to customs.
Oh my God. Yeah, that's another story.
But like my primary gripe with it, like in hindsight now, is yes, those people were unnecessarily like rude about the entire thing, but people are rude everywhere. Like yeah. That's a thing. Like, why would they let me book it in the first place?
Yeah. Right?
Like, that's the thing. That's like, just like, if the regulations are that clear, just don't let people book it willy-nilly, you know?
Yeah, it feels like they could easily put a check in.
Oh. Or like in all red, like as you're booking, like, hey, yes. If this applies to you,
yes,
don't book
exactly.
This.
That was that, and like I made essentially that point to the check-in person. I'm like, why was I able to book this ticket? She goes, sir, that's the system, sir. What do you mean? I can go on my computer right now and I can book a ticket. What do you mean? I can book it here. And I didn't want to be the guy who, like, you know, starts explaining, you know.
When Harsha started unbuttoning his shirt to show his corporate shirt, and then he started explaining.
Cut the corporate shirt open to show his abs.
I didn't want to be mansplaining JavaScript, and so I
moved
on. But so now, basically, I'm out of a flight, right? And
an expensive one.
A ludicrously expensive one, on whose refund we can all cross our fingers for 10 days from today. So now I'm out of a flight, and I'm stuck in, like, Mumbai's check-in hall, a two-hour flight from an hour-and-a-half drive home. So now, and it's like, you know, close to midnight. I had a rushed lunch at 2 p.m. And because I didn't want to be taking masks off, I didn't, or any masks off any extended period of time, you know, skip the old food situation. So now, midnight, I now, like, just start walking the, you know, The simplest way for me to describe my situation is a Hindi phrase, which I will then attempt to translate. But I was basically a bhatakta hua atma, which is like a wandering ghost, if I might.
Yeah.
I'm just like going from like check-in counter to check-in counter to check-in counter, being like, hey, so here's the deal. What can you guys do for me? So I find out Air France and KLM, same situation as Shem and Lindsay are in right now. You know, the UK, Brexit happened, but they still got lumped in with everybody else. I try and find a United representative. They've all left for the evening because their flight left an hour ago, and now they're just like, okay, now I'm going to go home. So there are now no United representatives. I find some Air India representatives. And as a tangent, Air India, terrible airplanes, usually nice people, right? and decent food, if anyone likes a good like palak paneer or something like
that. Oh, love it.
Can confirm.
So I go and find this thing. I explain the situation. The lady is like, in this case, at least like understanding of why this is a problem, unlike the British Airways employees. And then I get like, they're like, oh, you know, Air India has no flights because everybody, there's, you know, 10,000 other people in the same boat as you.
Yeah.
There's like a charter flight flying out of Mumbai tomorrow that's being organized by some sort of travel agency. Here's this is a number you can try and you can just like give that a shot. Now, all the eyes on this call are similarly suspicious, I would say. And rightfully so. I was similar, and when I pressed further, I'm like, okay, what sort of deal is this? Like, nobody had. They had a phone number and not much else. They,
what?
Like, oh, no, give it a shot. You know, call the number and see what happens.
Okay.
That seems a little sketch, but you know, whatever. I have a number in my back pocket. What could go wrong? Anyway,
I can't imagine being mid crisis and the answer being, "I know a guy." Like,
yeah.
a lot of functioning in India is "I know a guy."
Yeah, I was like, that honestly feels.
We function on "I know a guy who knows a guy."
Oh, I mean, New York also, like, that's a conversation True. For off-pod.
But now I meet this other lady who's in the same boat as I am, and, like, we just, like, basically then spend the rest of the night. We're, you know, the bad news comes down, like, all the action finishes around midnight. After that, we basically spend the rest of the night going from airline to airline, being like, hey, this, that. We go and talk to Qatar Airways, and they gave the first person I speak to at Qatar, you know, just a fun character in the sense of like he's so desperate to help me, but also so proud that his airline is completely full. Like he's like,
no.
So there's nothing we can do, sir. I was like, oh, can I get on some sort of wait list? No, sir. As I said, sir, we're completely overbooked, sir. There's nothing. It's very hard, sir. I would not recommend Qatar at all, sir. You try something else, sir. So, just a good guy for like any sort of like. I was like, oh, that guy's just straight up funny because he's also like dressed to the nines. You know, he's got like a gray suit.
Shem, where were you
a
month ago?
Perfectly like double Windsor tie.
No, Shem.
Yeah.
Where were you?
Where was I? Oh.
Okay.
I rarely go for the full double Windsor.
Okay. Like, well, that's
also,
true.
Also, stop trying to cancel me. I would never do that voice. I'm West Indian, Chloe. It's different.
Canceled yourself.
It's the old classic racism bounce back.
I'm rubber, you're glue.
So I meet this other person. We're going back and forth of like, oh, let's try this, let's try that. I'm on the so and I downloaded the Qatar Airways app, And like, I'm just like looking for now basically anywhere in the US. Because yeah. I'm like, oh, let me figure out maybe Chicago is cheap flights to New York. Let me try Philadelphia. Let me try Boston. At one point, I see a ticket to Boston from Mumbai through JFK. But when I look for JFK, I don't see any tickets.
Just like, so, don't get on your connection.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. So I was like, hey, I just don't want that. You can book me, but I don't want it. And then can you just give me like the money for the JFK ball? So I'm like, hey, I go to the guy. I'm like, hey, this is the issue. Can I just like, he's like, yeah, call this number. So now I call this number and like this Qatar number. And there's like this one thing where I call them like over the course of the night, I might've called them like 6 or 7 times. But at one point I call them, I'm like, hey, this is the situation. Can you get me to the US? He's like, oh, sir, there's a ticket available from Mumbai to JFK and it's like, what was this was double the price of the British Airways ticket, and it was, that was 5 times. So this is like, now we're talking like nearly 10 times the price of a I flew the final ticket that I flew back on was 5 times the price of a round trip ticket that I took to go the first time.
No.
Capitalism, folks. That you need some.
And that could be helping the crisis.
Yeah.
Truly.
So he's like, yeah. So I like take a deep breath. I'm like, well, maybe one less pastry for me next week. But I'm like, okay, yeah, let's do it. Let's get it. And I start giving him like all of my information. Suddenly the call just drops.
No, absolutely not.
Like, I hurriedly call back and I'm like, hey, I was just on the phone with a colleague of yours, because you don't get the same person
anymore. Yeah.
And they're like, I'm like, hey, I was just on the phone with a colleague of yours, and they're like, oh, sorry, sir, actually there's no tickets available. And so, because like it basically went in the time that it
yeah
And
Harsha,
I can do this. I'm already too stressed. I would have given up. And I'm. Oh my god!
One time I was delayed for like, actually it was like 30 hours, so it was horrible. But I had like another 3-hour delay, and I was like, I'm just gonna get an Airbnb here. Like, I'm just living here now.
Where in the world was it?
North Carolina, like, not. I was stuck getting home from Florida.
I don't know. The mental capacity you have doing all of this under this stress and anxiety is so impressive. Yeah.
Perseverance.
Well, let's hope you continue to pick that.
this tale takes a turn.
Harsha kills someone to get their plane ticket.
Harsha charted his own flight.
Not to be that guy, but I read the book of this, so
me too.
I'm just looking at tickets. I get this, I don't get that. Every now and then I see something on Qatar, but like my internet is too slow to make any moves. And then at like 4:30 in the morning, right? Me and this other lady who was in the same position I was in, we've been going back and forth talking to people. She was doing a lot. She was very good at talking to people, and she would get information that like every now and then would be valuable, and then every now and then would be not valuable. But then we'd have to figure out which piece was valuable and which piece wasn't valuable. But nonetheless, she at least got us the information that like, you know, gave us a head start.
Yeah.
Anyway, so we're going back and forth. We're figuring all of this out. At like 4:30 a.m., she's on the phone with somebody, like somebody in her family, trying to figure something out. And I get a ticket from this city called Kochi, which is in Kerala, which is like another 2-hour flight from Mumbai.
Yeah.
Kochi the next morning, so flying out on Monday morning at like 4 a.m. to Doha, and then on to JFK. And this time my internet actually starts working to a point where I enter all of my credit card information too, right? I get to, and I say submit purchase, because, you know, after this, I'd still have to book a ticket from Mumbai to Kochi, but I'm like, oh, that's the simple part. But I hit submit, and then it just spins, and eventually it doesn't happen.
Are you waiting on that spin?
15 minutes, 10 minutes, 10, 15 minutes.
Stop. Oh my gosh.
Literally, the hair on my body is standing up. I'm so sick of everyone. Nobody treats you like this again. Nobody. Oh my God.
So now it's like basically we're coming up on 5 a.m. I've gotten on one of my numerous calls with the folks in the Qatar Airways call center. We're boys now. We're all. I'm asking about their wife and their children.
No.
And he's like, "Sir, the issue is not getting to the U.S. The issue is getting to Doha from India. Every flight to Doha from every place in India is just completely packed." And so that's not the problem. Once you get to the... I'm like, oh, so can I just book a ticket to Doha and then I can get on a flight to the US? He's like, no, sir, it has to be one ticket. You can't do it on multiple tickets.
Oh my God. The
vagaries of international travel continue to bemuse me. So now it's like 5 a.m., maybe 6 a.m. coming up on. The sun's out. Now I've been up nearly 24 hours straight. I haven't eaten since 2. But somehow I'm like not hungry, weirdly.
No. Because you're stressed.
I call my parents and I give them the lowdown on what's going on. And then at like 6:37, I see a United flight through Frankfurt, which is kind of operated by Lufthansa.
Okay.
And I'm like, hey, I think this is going to have all the same issues, but let's give it a shot anyway, right? So we just book it and I'm like, they have 24-hour cancellation. We can cancel it immediately if it doesn't work. We book it. I'm like, okay, now I need to confirm whether I can actually get on this flight or not. And even that United flight was to Chicago. It was going to be it was not going to be optimal. But anyway, so I get on, I book it. I go and talk, finally, like the Air India office the ticket office is now open.
Okay,
and
beautiful. Like I said,
usually very nice people. And in this case too, very helpful people at Air India. Their planes, if you can avoid it, don't fly it. PSA, because it's a 16-hour flight and none of the screens will work across a 300-seater plane. But they'll all be very nicely apologetic when you do.
Very well trained at apologizing.
So I'm sorry, sir. I'll go ask again, sir. But anyway, so now I go find the ticket office person. And I'm like, hey, this is the deal. This auntie is like killing it. She's like, no. You see, my daughter, she came, she was F1, and now she went back happily. Now you're H1. No, not possible. So that's not happening either. And then I ask, okay, I have this other ticket. Is that going to work? And she's like, oh, you poor sweet child. No, that's not going to work either. So I was like, at least I canceled that ticket right quick. I was like, oh, great. I get up back on the phone with my parents. I'm like, hey, I'm tired and I'm not even able to think properly on what my options are. I think I should just come home and figure it out. Right. So finally, at like 1:30 p.m. the next, we're now in the next afternoon, I take a flight back, another 2-hour flight back to Bangalore. Say goodbye to my I don't want to say friend of the night because that sounds this lady who I'd been sharing ticket information back and forth.
Save that marriage options for an American. Like,
don't waste it.
And I get back home finally at like 6 p.m. I like sprawl out on our dining table. Like,
kill me.
Just on the dining table.
I'm out.
Everyone's looking at me. We're all like just looking at each other in like, what a few hours we've been through. Because they hadn't slept. I tried like not calling them all the time and just like saying, but like they weren't sleeping. They were worried about the whole thing too. So nobody, like everyone's just ghostly tired. I take my socks off and it truly smells like the world's worst thing possible. Like, whatever you think smells bad, it's my socks, my feet.
The stress and desperation just seeped
peeked right through those puppies.
Because I mean, part of it is my fault. I thought at some point they might make me take my shoes off, and so I had taken like my winter slip on shoes, and so my poor feet were, you know, really.
Oh no!
For you know, 26 hours.
Oh god.
So dead. I now get home. And I finally take a shower. I'm like, oh, my mom made some like really nice dinner just to like wash the pains of it all off. But I like keep just looking for flights. I'm like, okay, let me try this, let me try that. And I'm not going to search for all these weird combinations of flights that I was looking for. If I get something from like Bangalore to Newark or JFK, I'm good. Otherwise, I'll figure out what happens next. I don't know what happens next, but at this point, I can't like fly to some other place in India and then fly in. Because like at one point, I saw a ticket to LAX that was no joke, one way, $4,000, and I'd have to fly from LAX to New York,
which would be another
$600.
Yeah.
But I'm just doing it. Finally, at like we finished dinner and like I. Just come upstairs. I'm like, okay. And I was like watching a cricket match and just like refreshing. And this ticket shows up, Bangalore JFK in 6 hours from now. Or it was at that point, 7 hours from then. I now have like the PCR test that I got the previous day.
Yeah.
I have everything in place. So I'm like, my mom's like telling me something. She was telling me some or like about something, something like that. And I was like, hey, just 1 second, mom. I need to like type fast. And
the bravery to do that.
Because like she could tell that I wasn't listening. But then I was like, hey, no, just 1 second. I might be getting a ticket. And I finally get it. It was still way too expensive.
Yeah.
But, you know, I got it. I finally get there. This time, instead of having to leave instantaneously, have a couple of hours where I can just like digest some stuff. But I'm still like not confident that it's going to work out after the previous 36 hours.
Yeah.
I don't know what's going to happen. Anyway, so we finally like whatever stuff. I get everything prepped. I have everything ready. Go to the airport. I have my some minor possibly off pod details that I can that I have to get through, and then I get on the flight to Doha. It is packed.
Oh, like, I'm sure.
Like I don't know if any of you have taken any flights in the recent past, but like all the other flights that I'd been on had like one if at worst window and aisle or something to that effect. Mm-hmm. Like, this one was. I got a middle seat that was supposed to be a middle exit row seat. So I was like, okay, I'll have some room. Turns out I got a middle, just like middle. I'm you know, 1 centimeter short of being 6 feet tall. And I'm like trapped like this because I don't want to be touching people.
No. Yeah. oh, no.
And I do all that. Anyway, we get on that flight, get off that flight. Have an 8.5 hour layover in Doha. Where much of the essay that I coerced Shem into or guilted Shem into reading was written, and then was about to board the flight to the U.S. when the Qatar employee goes, "Sorry, sir, could you just wait by the side for a moment?"
No.
And I'm like, "No, don't stop me now. This is I've come too far. God damn it." So I'm like, oh, is there any issues? Do I need to have some documents? Please wait, sir. We have 1 minute. The Qatar employee comes to me and says, at some like 10 minutes later or 5 minutes later, comes to me and says, "Sir, I have the U.S. immigration officer on the line for you." Hello. hello. Yeah, who am I speaking with? I was like, oh, hi. My name is Harshavardhan Dasarathi. He's like, oh, okay. Can you give me your passport number? I gave him my passport number. He was like, were you on a flight to the London Heathrow a few days ago? I was like, no, I was supposed to.
No, fuck you. Triggering question.
I was supposed to be on a flight, but the airline didn't let me get on. And so given the upcoming restrictions, I booked this other flight, but I never got.
All right, I think we're good here, but if you could just hand it back over to the airline employee. Oh, now I don't know. He said we're good here, but why did he then have to talk to somebody else?
Yeah.
But then they take it, they like go through every page in my passport to make sure I didn't have the temerity to travel to Europe at a time such as this.
Oh my God.
Just imagine if he'd been in Paris.
I'd have been crazy hot, but I've been nowhere near where I wanted to be.
I love that they thought you took the flight to London, went to JFK, came back to India, and then tried to board this flight.
Yeah, you're like, absolutely not. I would not be here.
Yuck, never mind. I'm going to go back and try that again.
Sir, your air miles are off the chart. You want to stay up in the air too? You're going to be replacing George Clooney.
What we're going to, off the pod, Harsh is going to be like, actually, you guys, I started COVID. I was traveling so much a year and a half ago, and the CDC tracked it back to me. I was the one person, and they tracked my air miles.
Patient zero.
No.
They finally like go through it. They're like, the lady even asked me, when was the last time you were in Europe? And I was like, March 2019. And she was like, obviously expecting an answer more recent than that. Like, she had to like do the math in her head.
Yeah.
She was like, I said March, and then she did her 2019 after that. And I saw her face being like, oh, why am I even doing this? But like, you know, she still had to do it. So then I get on the flight. This flight's slightly emptier. I slept. The miracle of all miracles, I slept.
Oh, thank God.
And I finally land at JFK. Do the whole immigration thing, and I'm talking to the guy, and he like mentions to a colleague, oh, this guy's gonna have to go inside again, sir, she'll be taking you. And this the U.S. immigration authorities also needed to check the exact same thing that I hadn't
done
again. So that was another like half an hour, 40 minutes. So all's well that ends well, folks, because I'm coming to this podcast live from my apartment.
Like, wow, yeah. You gotta turn that into some content. That kind of trauma is just ripe. I'm so sorry, but also I'm so glad you were able to get back. That's really frustrating, terrifying, exhausting. Like, wow. Wow. My 30-hour trip from Florida to New York is not as exciting.
Harsh, your imagine. Life is as hot as a double is a knot. Just the hottest, most fashionable look there is.
Yes. Ooh, Harsha, your life is as hot as your feet.
Yeah.
that's the wrong kind of hot.
Harsha, your life is as hot as that really good Air India food when it comes out of the cooker on the plane. You're like, I want to eat it, but I can't. You got to cool down first.
Truly, listener, I am not exaggerating. Air India, among the better food
on the planet you can get. It's banging. Big fan.
Yeah.
Harsha, in fact, or your life, oh boy, your life was as hot as the one person who was trying to book a flight just to join the Mile High Club, and she also had to jump through all those hoops just to figure it out. She's still in London.
But she did join it.
But she did join it, yeah. Yeah.
Good for her.
Good for her.
One other thing, I did come prepped with a fact because I thought I couldn't come on Hot Goss without a fact.
Harsh, right. Can you pause that fact for a second? Because yes. I've been needing to go to the bathroom the entire time you told your story, which is why I've been so like on edge with each turn.
Shammy!
And then what happened? Oh no! It's very exciting. But I will disappear. Talk amongst yourselves.
Literally, same.
If we are taking a break, I will pee.
Oh, wow.
I'll be okay, right back.
Well, I can't wait for this back.
I'm sure I'm staying so
a
we can have a chat. Oh, wait.
Coordinated bathroom break.
Where is your drink from, Harsha?
This is just water.
Oh, it's just water in a cup. I saw I couldn't read the name on the glass earlier, and it looked like Costa and...
Fellow Ooh. Corporate show.
Oh, more corporate show. Yeah.
So.
I'm so happy you made it back.
Oh.
In hindsight, so am I. But, you know, I had this like weird thing where that first flight that I took, I was like miserable that I was leaving home.
Yeah.
And the second flight back home, I was like, oh God, I'm now as miserable that I'm not leaving home. And I'm like, I'm like juggling these two really complex emotions and I don't know how to like, how to deal with it.
It's so hard when you're like, well, like, I didn't want to leave here, but like, I also want to be able to like get back, because if I don't, you know, that has repercussions down the line. But then, yeah, that journey back, it must have been like, oh no.
I think it took me to like Thursday, Friday maybe before I felt like, okay, I at least like know like what's happening, you know, like I'm not just in a daze.
Mm-hmm.
Because also at work, I was like working on something that was like kind of like time sensitive, you know, like it needed to be done by the end of this week. So I couldn't just be like, hey guys, I had a wild week. I need to take some time off. It was like, you know, I'd made some commitments that I didn't want to flake out on.
And like for the timeline, you managed to book the flight on May 2nd, right? And
you
flew like
May 3rd early morning, like 4 a.m. on May 3rd.
And so landed here on May 4th.
I landed in the U.S. like 10:30 May 3rd night. But by the time I got out, it was nearly midnight. By the time I left, reached home, was like 1:30.
Sorry, I'm back. Mansplain JavaScript to me. Like, just take all the time you need.
What was your fact that you said you brought up?
Okay, yes. My one in a million fact that I didn't want to do the research that one that would confirm that this was actually a fact, but I saw it on Reddit 2 days ago and it stuck with me. Supposedly, no human being has ever seen two great white sharks going at it, aka mating. The mystery of how they have children is a mystery.
Much like I also like the other side where it's just like the sharks are just like, leave us alone, and the sharks are just like, let us look.
What a mood kill.
That is wild. So they truly have no idea how they mate.
I didn't do the requisite research.
I'm on Pornhub doing the requisite research right now. This is true.
And I also don't even know if it's true because, you know, Reddit's a cesspool of like every other place on the internet. So
I never research any of the facts I bring, and that doesn't stop me.
Oh, no.
Spread misinformation from day one on this podcast.
Wow, that is exciting.
I'm just kidding.
Speaking of cesspools, Lindsay, I know you love to swim. Would you like to share?
I do like to swim, but I haven't swum in a very long time. Sure, I can share. I was looking at trying to leave the country. My great aunt died recently and I wanted to go back for the funeral. It's my dad's aunt, but she was like an aunt to the whole family. She was called Auntie Peggy, super delightful, very playful. Like, even like if you'd go like to her house, she'd sing like a little song as you would like, she'd come to like answer the door, like even at this age, but she'd be like, who's at the door? Oh, it's Lindy Lou. Truly,
Lindsay just comes from the most like delightful people. Like, there is no question of why Lindsay is the way she is. Like, your whole family is just infectiously, I won't say whole family, a lot of your family is just like infectiously delightful. 10 out of 10.
I'm trying to change that.
And Shem, that's why I said not the whole family.
I like the way Rachel framed that, because I was like, Rachel, who do you know in Lindsay's family?
I have beef with Lindsay's cousin Greg.
It would be so funny if that was true. I don't have a cousin Frank. Okay, good. And so I was like, great, what do I need to get home? I get the COVID test and like start the plan. And then I was like, oh, presidential decree, I can't get back in the country if I go, unless I went somewhere else after the UK. So had I gone and spent 14 days somewhere else, The issue would have been that I'd been in the UK for 14 days. So I did look at going to the Maldives or Iceland as a way to get back for the funeral. And then I was like, this is excessive. I'll go and see family when I can hug them and go in people's houses because there's still lockdown rules in the UK. So
that was an active consideration for me as well.
Right.
You know, amongst the various like sketchy charter flights, alternatives proposed to me were find a way to get to Mexico or find a way to get or go to Kathmandu, Nepal, mm-hmm. and fly out from there. Both of which I was
not You're like, maybe not this time.
Yeah. Yeah, it's like, shall I? And I was like, nope, we'll wait until things are better and I can go and hug people. But
yeah,
I was saying you should, just so I can tell the cats that's why mum's gone to Iceland. But
truly a reference which I enjoyed because there's a British supermarket called Iceland. I say supermarket, it was maybe a frozen food store.
It was, yeah, they just had row upon row of like fish fingers and like garden peas and like
so cheap. So cheap.
Wow, that's honestly sounds like my dream.
And then above the freezers
is like ridiculously stereotypical. They just had fish and peas.
Mom's gone to Iceland.
yeah, it was terrible.
But I did not go to Iceland. I stayed here, and that's me.
Well, Lindsay, your life is as hot as a spontaneous trip to the hot springs in Iceland. That's a thing, right?
Yeah,
there's like hot springs in a cold weather.
In English class to make a travel guide, and I was given Iceland as a country, so I ended up learning more about Iceland than I needed to as a 10-year-old. But I was like, this is a fun place to go at some point. But yeah, they have hot springs.
Yeah, just like a dip in them where it's like, mm-hmm. oh, comforting yeah. and hot.
I love that.
Yeah, it's like you're
Lindsay, your life is as hot as that volcano that erupted in Iceland mm-hmm. 10 years ago that I at this moment in time will not attempt to pronounce the name of.
Ajakatoifel?
There we go. When I said I couldn't pronounce it, I knew that I was setting Shem up to be able to say it.
Thank you, friends.
Shem sent threatening texts moments before. I was like, don't say it, set me up.
I have a plan.
But yeah, it's as hot as that volcano.
Plan, yeah.
That's hot. Yeah.
That's very hot.
Lindsay, your fact was as hot as the grumpy member of your family, who I've been reliably informed is now fashion forward for the next 10 minutes.
My dad?
I literally was like, is Lindsay's dad fashionable?
No.
I mean, judging by what I'm wearing, apparently, yes.
No. Shem, you look good. Stop. Not to say that Lindsay's dad doesn't.
Lindsay, your life is as hot as how I imagine your family would feel. And I 100% can see your family doing this. Don't ask questions. But you sneak in and you go undercover and you dress as the Buckingham Palace guards.
Mm.
And you just kind of sneak in and you guys take guard for a bit. I imagine it would be very hot.
Those hats would be hot, like the big Busby hats.
Yeah, right. You've got to be sweating under the sun.
My gran dressed my mom's brother up, so her son, as one of those guards and used like a thing that you put your hands in winter and like just shoved it on his
head. Oh.
Oh,
cute.
Speaking of cute, that's how I'm
labeled this.
Our transitions are no longer tenuous, folks.
Fully have a handle on them. Like a regular Toby jug. Just to keep it quick because we're massively over time. I shot like a sketch. I was like a real honest to God actor on Friday. I was in the room with like a crew and like it was wild because I'd not been around that many people in a long period of time. It was nuts because I was being paid to act. It was also nuts because like 13 of the 14 people in the cast were just people I knew from like UCB. So I was like, it was like seeing all my friends again, but in a workplace setting, which is how I would see my friends. So that felt like nice. And then for reasons which I legally can't get into, I then had to produce a minimal viable product comedy for another employer. So I had to like act all day, then run home and act in three, write, direct, act and edit three or four other sketches. So it was like a wild day of like, wow, I'm just really killing it. And like, I went from doing no acting in my life to having like a full day of just screaming, hooping and hollering, creating content for like almost like a living. And it was like, oh wow, this is the dream. This dream sucks. I should have better dreams.
Oh, Shem, your life is as hot as the scene in Miss Congeniality after she gets her makeover when she's walking on like the tarmac and the song like, oh, she's a lady. Whoa, she's a lady. Like how she's feeling in that moment is how hot your life is.
I'm going to keep that train going. Shem, your life is as hot as Spider-Man 3, the Tobey Maguire montage when like jazz is playing. He's like, ba-da-da, ba! And he's popping finger guns left and right on the street because he's so freaking hot.
Whoa.
finger gun spiked 100% after that movie.
I'm dead.
I tried doing finger guns for a little bit. I'm not great at it. I don't have the confidence to pull it off. But Shem, your life is as hot as those Broadway stars in the making who they show, you know, who like get off a bus with two suitcases and a dream. And your life is as hot as that.
That's hot. That's how I showed up in New York.
Two suitcases and a dream?
Two suitcases and a dream, baby.
Call that a memoir title.
I still know the song from the Copacabana musical, which is that premise. Just arrived track 17 all the way from Tulsa, Oklahoma, nowhere. Where's my chauffeured limousine? Anyway, Shem, your fact is as hot as a really good Too Good To Go bag, which to connect, Too Good To Go is an app that Harsha's friend introduced us to just before Harsha left the country, and you can pick up really discounted baked goods. And sometimes you get a bag and it's like really cool and fun. So Shem, your life is as hot as one of those bags where you're like, whoa, he got 8 lots of cakes.
We discovered that, and then we literally every time we get something from a bag, we just send a picture to Harsha and go, look at this was like a bag for the pizza. Look at all these croissants.
Bags of pizza.
I've got 12 bagels.
This podcast is now fully spawn con for Too Good To Go.
Too Good To Go. It's too good to go.
To go.
SpawnCon. I love that.
You've never heard of SpawnCon?
Never.
Sponsor content. SpawnCon.
No.
Spawn.
That's why I was quiet for once. I was like, what does that mean?
For once.
SpawnCon. Yeah. Well, this whole episode has been sponsored content for the concept of empathy. I literally have to flag, I am being sincere in this moment. Anytime I'm trying to be sincere in any moment, sincerely, I read Harsha's story and was like very moved by it, partly because he's my friend, partly he's a very good writer. And like, I feel like often when people hear about things that are happening and it's not directly in front of their faces, they're like, oh, who cares? And like, there's like terrible things happening all over the world to people who are like real people with like lives and thoughts and feelings. So I thought it'd be good to bring on one of my friends who has a life on to talk about his thoughts and feelings. And yes, so that's why this happened. End of me being sincere.
we'll never see it again.
Who has the hottest life?
Oh, I can decide who has the hottest life?
Oh my God.
Feel free
to
pick your
own.
You can't
pick yourself.
Well, I will say, on the subject of being sponsored by empathy, you know, I may or may not have tickled some funny bones over the course of my retelling of this tale. But I do want to stress that things are really sad in India right now. And if, you know, people are in New York, you sort of have a sense of what it was like, you know, in April of last year, when truly it was just you would go out and you would just see sad things all the time. Mm-hmm. And, you know, this is that. I don't mean to compare people's things, but in just in the sense of like the whole country is like that right now. And it's just really sad. So, if you know, empathy is the most important thing.
Yeah. And just because, like, we're, you know, vaxxed here doesn't mean it's over.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And, like, you know, have fun. But, like, just, you know, be kind to people.
Yeah.
Wow. So empathy was the hottest.
Empathy was the hottest.
Empathy wins.
Always.
Oh, I love that.
Tasha, do you have anything to plug? Apart from the concept of empathy, where can people find you?
I mean, you can go if you want to hear the same story just told in non-audio form. It is on medium.com/whatever it is. I don't know what it is. If you say Medium in my name, it'll probably be on there.
We'll put it in the comments.
Yeah. But I mean, you know the story. I don't need to do it, but like, whatever, it's there. Other than that, that's fine. Be nice to each other. That's it.
Yeah.
Hell yeah.
That's beautiful.
I love that.
Well, we have been, Rachel, I'm in charge.
I'm sorry.
I could see it happening too.
I get it.
I was like, I'm surprised it's the only time it's happened.
I've been good, Daddy.
Lordy. We have been Trash Comedy. You can find us all over the internet. Look in the post description. That has our socials on it. We are a proud member of the Apocalypse Podcast Network. Check out them for all the stuff that they're doing. Listen to more of our old episodes. You can check out Harsh's original episode. I think it's like 30. It's a good one. There's a big, long fact about, if you thought this story was long, listen to him talk about Jules Rimet.
I shouldn't have talked this long.
No.
It was the right length.
It was truly the only worthwhile information we've had on this podcast.
Yeah.
And all flight stories must be proportional to the flight saga itself. That was perfect.
Harsha, you are first and only repeat guest. So thank you for that as well.
Yeah. It's an honor.
So until next time, bye.
Bye. Bye, babies.
Thanks for listening to the Apocalypse Podcast Network. For more great podcasts, go to apocalypsepodcastnetwork.com. And remember, every time you support one of our sponsors, you're supporting the podcast you just heard.